Speaking of my sons, took Axel golfing yesterday with his buddy. Went to Valley. Excellent.
Oh, wait. I didn't know the buddy. I thought it was just you and Axel. No, no, no. I thought it was father,
well,
son.
The one video is his buddy. But I didn't want to like put like, because, you know, it's my, I don't think they care. I really don't think they care because he's really good at sports. But I was like, eh, it's his son. I don't know if, you know, because whoever comments on me is comments on me. Because I will tell you this, like Dante Jones over at 8, he will look at my mentions on Twitter. He goes, God, Ken, they're so mean. I go, no, they're not. I go, they're calling you fat. And I go, well, Dante, I hate to break it to you, bud, but guess what? It's a gag. I'm very open on Twitter. It doesn't matter to me. And he's like, you read that stuff? I go, they're not being mean, Dante. It's part of the fun. And I go, well, Dante's never listened to the show, apparently. So I know who's listening, who's not. I go, they're having fun. It doesn't matter. But I you know, it's on social media, so I just wanted to make sure that my kid's one thing, other people's are another. So my neighbor and I, we all went out there yesterday, decided to play 9 because the neighbor had a doubleheader later in the day. And they're hooked. They're absolutely hooked. They got the bug. I told them all, because I'd never played with my neighbor, and I go, you guys got to understand, I'm really, really bad, comically bad. And my neighbor's like, yeah, everybody says that. And I'm like, okay. And then I started playing. I go, I told you guys, like, I can't even get the ball in the air anymore. I can do tee shots, and I can do short game, and I can putt well. Axel knocked down a 25-footer, total luck shot, which Lima hates. Cause
I hate it. I hate it.
My family just lucks into this when it comes to putting.
I'm playing with Kenny, and he's just rolling them in from 40 feet away. Yep. And I'm like, I can't make a 5-footer.
The longest putt I ever had was 40 feet at that course, by the way. And you can't even make a 4-footer.
I told you, Kenny, it's all about ball placement. Just got to move that ball a little bit.
It was so much fun to see them go from not knowing anything of what to do to, by the end of the round, like, they were lacing some shots. Axel's little buddy, I mean, he kind of knocked around for a hole and a half, and then it was just whoosh, and off he went, and I'm going, damn it, this is the only thing in my life that I can think of where I'm jealous of a 10-year-old. Like, we went to 14, the one where you got to go over the river, like, you hit the tee shot, and then on 14, they got this one where you had it, like, hit it in, onto a island over the Black River.
Oh, yeah.
And we did it for the greens from there, like, the I didn't see any reds, basically the youth tees.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, laced it right out, put it right on the edge where you need to lay up to get it over the river. Able to do all this stuff. He's fantastic. And I looked at his dad and go, he's going to be amazing. He's going to be amazing.
Well, it's a perfect time, too. You said they're 10 years old.
Yep.
So if they not only get the bug now, if they can get some semblance of a repeatable swing at 10, they'll have it for life.
Because I didn't want to say too much. Because I've taken so many tips from so many people. I know what to say. I just can't do it. So, like, Jimmy's worked with me. Barry's worked with me. You've all worked with me. You have worked with me. And none of it takes. But I know all the things to say. So it's like, hey, keep that arm straight. And they were both able to get it. And, like, on the 16th, there's a par 3 that goes over another, like, creek. And the whole goal is to get it over the creek. And damn it, he got it over the creek. He was excited. I was excited. It was great.
I know you're out there in the sun.
I caught him cussing. He didn't think I caught him cussing.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. The days are long. Were there any lessons taught on the golf course that maybe transcend
etiquette?
The sport?
Are you talking about etiquette or
anything?
In general?
Anything.
Well, he hit one long because they don't have much of a short game right now because everything's way back and hit it as hard as you can. So he hit one that went sailing over the green. And I heard him go, oh, bleep. And he didn't know I could hear him because I really can't hear anything. I'm deaf. But he didn't know I could hear him. I didn't do anything because I just acted like I didn't hear him because we're having a good time here. What am I supposed to do? Scold him about this? He's 10 years old. I'm sure he says these words in front of his buddies all the time.
Did you let him drive the golf cart?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely freaking
really?
Not. You know, because
that's the age where you want to drive the golf cart.
Well, again, you're like, we're out there. It's a nice place. And because I knew if he drove it, his buddy would want to drive
it.
Oh,
his. Yeah, for sure.
And I feel responsible for that, and so it's like, if we were alone, I might have been like, all right, you can try it. But since we weren't, I wasn't going to set that precedent, and then, like, my buddy would have to feel like, well, I mean, Axel got to drive it, so his son has to drive. Like, I don't want to do that.
Did they have patience waiting for whether there were people in front of you?
Oh, they started playing slow, and my buddy and I had to hurry them along a little bit. Like, hey,
yeah,
like because they started wanting to take like two off the tee, and I'm like, guys, pace of play. Taught them about pace of play. Taught them about walking in lines, in someone's lines, talking in backswings. They didn't understand that at first. Corrected them on that.
Until you get later, and then that's all you do during your friend's backswings.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then you start saying funny things.
The most detestable, inhumane things to try to make them laugh.
Talking about taking paint off the walls at work with certain people who are using the bathroom. Anyway, and then at the end, because we only played nine, at the end of the round, I told Axel, like I said, okay, finish it out. Because I taught him about like a gimme and what's good. Like I'll say somebody will say that's good, so you guys can keep the round going. So if you're within a putter length and your putt comes within there, usually somebody with you will go that's good. So you take that next as your score. So if you were putting for four on that, you just take the four. And then at the end of the round, I go, okay, now you take your hat off and you shake the hand of people that you were playing with. And he goes, why do you do that? I go, honestly, I don't know. It's just what you do.
No, and then the other thing you do is you go back to the clubhouse to where everybody's eating after the outing, and you challenge the people that allegedly shot 20 under par and won it when they show up looking like how they look. When you start a fight. That's all etiquette. That's how it works.
Yes.
You boo them as they get their prize.
Yes. We were talking about outings. It's like, that's always amazing. Oh, you're telling me the guy in the Air Monarchs and Jorts, your guys' group, you guys were 15 under. Oh, okay. Well, that's funny. It's very interesting.
Any of those people that claim they shot what they did and they look like that instantly should trigger like an IRS audit. Should instantly trigger some investigation, because if they're willing to lie that badly on the golf course, what other shenanigans are they up to?
I think, was it you came up with the idea? Because somebody came up with the idea the final two should have to go back out to 18 and play the hole.
Yeah, let's go see it.
Because then you would, if we're all watching, then we're going to know instantly. Who's lying. Then probably both of them are lying, but you know, what are you going to do? You can't be there all day.
Disqualify them immediately.
So he had a good time. I don't want to spend too much time on this. I know you guys talked about it yesterday. We got Mary Kay coming up at 8:22, by the way. Sophie Cunningham of the Indiana Fever. She meant to say Cleveland. She said Cincinnati. And the comments were off base. I don't exactly know what you said. I'm sure you weren't happy about it. Go ahead. Here's Sophie Cunningham of the Indiana Fever about the WNBA's expansion into Detroit, Philadelphia, and Cleveland, Ohio.
You would think that you'd want to try to get more of the country engaged in the WNBA. I totally get having kind of the brother team of having the NBA side, because it is helpful. It's way more helpful. You just get more perks. There's more opportunities. And so I get that aspect. But I also think that you want to listen to your players, too. Like, where do they want to play? Where are they going to get excited to play and draw fans? And I do think that Miami would have been a great one. Like, everyone loves Florida. Nashville is an amazing city. Kansas City, amazing opportunity. There's a huge arena downtown that no one's using. I'm not so sure what the thought process is there, but at the end of the day, you also want to make sure that you're not expanding our league too fast. I think that's also another thing, that you don't want teams to totally dominate and then have teams that aren't. And so I just think that it's kind of a hard situation, but man, I don't know how excited people are to be going to Detroit or Cincinnati.
So she obviously meant Cleveland, and a lot of people jumped in and said, well, you play in Indianapolis, and I'm not going to sit there and rip on Indianapolis. I just don't want to do that because, listen, everybody likes to take shots at Cleveland. Every city has its great parts and its bad parts. Every city. Sheboygan, Wisconsin has an area of the town I'm sure nobody wants to be in.
Oh, don't go to that part.
But when I hear that, I go, you can't be more off base than where you're being off base. A comment that she said about Kansas City, it's true. They got that giant arena that they don't really use. They don't have hockey. They don't have basketball. They have this arena, and it's not used. It's right by that.
They get like NCAA tournament games. That's it.
The Miami and Nashville thing, first off, you don't even have pro basketball in Nashville. Second of all, you have to go to places that you know are going to draw fans, or you feel is going to draw fans. That's why these three cities make sense. Cold weather cities make sense. They're better for sports. The Florida Panthers just won two Stanley Cups. Go look at their attendance before they were ever good. Okay? Go look at that. And I know what people say about the Guardians. Basketball works in Cleveland. The Cavs, even when they're a 19-win team, are maybe just outside the top 10 when it comes to attendance. Basketball works in Cleveland. sports work in northern, Midwest, cold weather cities.
Look what our hockey team draws.
Yes. So you have to see the forest for the trees here. And also, you're going to go with places that, again, we're willing to pony up $250 million for the franchise because your price is only going up. If you're blessed to be in the league in 2028, and I'm sure she will, your price is only going up. So you have to understand that if there's a fever, which I know is a terrible pun, if there's a fever for the game in these places, you're only going to be there to visit. If Anchorage, Alaska had a passion for WNBA basketball and was willing to put 15,000 people in the seats every single night, guess where you're going? You're going to Anchorage, Alaska. All right? I don't give a damn where it's at.
And she's talking about Miami. I mean, what sense does that make in Miami? Who the hell is going to go stop what they're doing in Miami where there's infinite possibilities? Oh, we're going to go to the WNBA game. And yeah, yes. Those girls making $200,000 or whatever the salaries are.
The max is $200,000.
Yeah. Okay, the max.
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to want to live in Miami with as expensive as a city as that is.
If you bring in Cleveland, Detroit, Philadelphia, and you have fans in these arenas, which anytime we talk about it, we get the big cynical folks out there, and then we get the misogynistic comments, and then I get all bothered by it. But when you go to these places that do have a passion for the sports, you have to understand that money is to be made there. It's yours for the taking. I thought she got the part, being the person who is the enforcer for Caitlin Clark. It only helps your brand. It only helps you. And then I did think, I go, well, if she could be a villain of some sort here, well, I'm definitely more willing to pay a ticket in 2028 to go and boo her every time she touches the ball. That might be a little bit of fun. So maybe there is some gamesmanship there towards it. But when you're talking about Miami, Florida, I've been to Miami several times. You've been to Miami way more than that. It's a fine town to vacation in. I'm sure it's a fine town for people to live in. It is not the sports town of anything up here. Anything up here. When the Canes are good, the Canes draw. When the Fish are good, the Fish draw. The Marlins, the Panthers are good. They just started drawing. They were ninth in attendance, if I'm not mistaken, at least in the 2024 season. These are teams in these areas that have more passionate fans because, yeah, the weather's worse. There's less to do. There's less to do. So we go to basketball games. We go to hockey games. We go to football. That's what we do. And they do the same in Pittsburgh, Detroit. They do the same in Philadelphia. Their weather patterns, us just a day later. That's what they do. Go to the sports places that make sense. It's a monetary sense-making thing here. And to say those things, no, I'm sorry. She's off base on those comments. But I'm not going to sit there and take shots at Indianapolis.
You should make fun of her city. That's what you're supposed to do.
No, I'm not going to do that.
I don't like it that you made fun of my city. I'm going to make fun of other cities.
No, I'm going to be above that. I used to do that way back in the day. I thought it was wrong. Cleveland is a fine, fine town, obviously. Lyman and I will both be buried here. No regrets.